Nearly half of the people with HIV worldwide are women. For years, AIDS workers have known that the low status of women in developing countries is one reason their infection rates are so high. Improvements in the lives of poor women have not kept pace with the epidemic. That's been a major topic at the United Nations Special Session on AIDS, now in its second day. From New York, NPR's Brenda Wilson reports.
Nearly 20 years ago, Deborah Work-Zudi was working as an immunologist in Ethiopia when the first AIDS patient there was diagnosed. She knew of four. Now there are more than 3 million. Zudi, a coordinator for HIV/AIDS at the World Bank, watched as the rates for HIV among women in developing countries climbed. Nothing, she says, was done for a long time.
Even when we knew, in parts of sub-Saharan Africa, women with only one sexual partner were getting infected more and more. When we knew that women who would go to antenatal clinics because they're pregnant, and we found out that in some countries the prevalence rate in these women is as high as women who are involved in commercial sex work.
When health workers did respond, she says, they didn't quite get it right. They failed to come to terms with the simple fact that women don't wear the condoms.
Most women in the world, specifically most women in developing countries, are totally dependent on their husbands. Without tackling that problem, we shouldn't have expected women to respond to our messages such as just say no. Get empowered. Tell your husband this, that, and the other.
Teenage girls in Africa are the most vulnerable. They're 5 times more likely to be infected as boys their own age, and it's usually older men who are responsible. Zudi says it isn't fair to blame all of the problems of women in developing countries on culture or stigma, when the rest of the world pretty much looked the other way.
It is the lack of acceptance by society in general about the extent of the damage this epidemic is doing to every one of us. I think it's a global failure.
In all that time, she points out, not much money was spent to develop any product that would give women more control in protecting themselves. If she were starting out now, Deborah Work-Zudi says, she wouldn't focus on women alone. She'd go after whole communities and make sure that men and young boys were included. Dr. Akinyele Dara of the United Nations Population Fund says young men can change if they're given a good reason.
For us to be able to address the issue of gender equality, we have to really come from the point of what do men gain from gender equality? How do they benefit from it? If a man knows very well that when the wife is literate, when the wife is educated and is well employed, he does not have to be responsible for all that is necessary, the resources in the house. He will support the wife to be well literate and be employed.
There's a growing realization that the status of women in the developing world improves when more women are educated. Geeta Rao Gupta of the International Center for Research on Women feels optimistic about the changes she's beginning to see.
I come from India, and it's got entrenched gender norms, and I have seen between my grandmother's time and my time the changes that have occurred. I see that, you know, about what, 10 or 15 years ago, there was no subsidized education for girls. There is now, today, subsidized education for girls. The fact that women are increasingly employed and allowed to earn an income, and that's an accepted fact in Indian society. It's no longer challenged.
A better understanding of power, she says, would move the process along faster. Property ownership, education, and social supports ultimately give women more of a say in what happens to them. And she says AIDS is actually making that happen faster.
Re-examination of existing gender norms is more likely to happen now in the face of this epidemic. And we have experience of that, even in the most, in small poor communities where norms are, you know, very entrenched and people don't want to change. When you explain to them in simple terms the links between vulnerability to infection and inequity, gender inequity, fathers will stand in line to get information for their young daughters.
Unfortunately, she says, by the time countries figure that out, millions have died. For that reason, she wishes there were more of an exchange between developing countries that now have low overall rates of infection and countries in Africa. the kind of experience, Gupta says, they're not likely to get from an international forum. Brenda Wilson, NPR News, New York.